I wasn't sure which pun to end it on, so I decided to shove both of them in there.
I have so many puns.
The after show should just be us like firing like monkey puns back and forth at each other.
I
actually got through all of mine though.
I was just having this conversation with Susan earlier. It's like I think of myself as fairly quick-witted and erudite, but I don't have performance anxiety. Like, I've had hobbies and careers that are performing to an audience for a lot of my life. But for some reason, when someone asks me a direct enough question, they're like, you know, oh, what's your favorite kind of sandwich? I'm like, I can't name any sandwiches. Like, I hate that I think of myself as a funny person. And then when someone's like, oh, tell me a joke, I'm like, I can't. There are no jokes in the universe, because surely I would be able to think of one. Like, I just, right. I don't know what it is about that. But when people do that kind of like puns back and forth, or they're like one-upping each other on like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, like that kind of thing, I'm like, I don't know why I would expect my mind to work that way. Somehow it doesn't.
I definitely think that, you know, One thing that I think, and I don't know whether this is a generational thing or an us thing, but is that I feel that we gravitate more towards funny stories than jokes. You know, so when somebody's like,
yeah,
tell me a joke,
I'm like, that's a fashion. They go in and out of popularity. Yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't know any. And honestly, reminds me, because I saw a thing on my uncle's Facebook wall where he was just like, it was a joke, like where it had like the setup and then the punchline, you know? And I was like, reality is already so goddamn weird and hilarious. Why do you need to make jokes? Like, it's just fucking bananas out there. Just base coat. I mean, like, literally the first half of this was me telling you about the insanity that my neighbor was rambling at me. Didn't need to make anything up for that. You just like, oh, hey, listen to this insane, dumb shit that I just recently dealt with.
This is an incredible coincidence. But I realized about midway through the episode that this entire time I've had this banana right here. And what's even more absurd is, like, I usually around the time we finish recording, like, I get hungry, so I eat something. And so I wanted something healthy nearby instead of like candy or cookies or something. And so I went and grabbed this, having never brought a banana to a recording before. And with no conscious awareness that it was like, oh, I'm going to go and get a banana because we're recording Donkey Kong Country episode. And those are the kinds of, like, that feels like something we would swap as like, oh, here's a funny story of a thing that happened. And the more I think about jokes, I realize that most of the jokes I know are not only not suitable, like, to repeat in almost any circumstances, but are of a form and structure that are lost on younger audiences. Like, do you know the joke, The Aristocrats?
Yes.
Right. Now, think about how old you are. Imagine trying to explain that to someone who is like 19 today.
I can't explain that apparently to like people, my parents. I tried to explain the joke, The Aristocrats, to my parents. I was like, because I was talking about when Dwight tells the joke The Aristocrats in The yes. Office, which is perfect because he's just like, and then, you know, it's really raunchy, like these sex acts that they're doing are, they're disgusting. I'm like, that's amazing, because that's very characterizing of him ruining this joke in this specific way. And I was like, no. So I was watching that, my parents were in the room, and I was like, it's funny because he's telling the joke The Aristocrats, and they were like, what? I'm like, okay, so the point of the joke is that it tells you a lot about the comedian, because there's a big giant empty space in the middle that you fill in the joke, and then you just end with The Aristocrats, you know? Like, I don't get it. I'm like, well, I can't really explain it to you.
It's a joke for comedians that other comedians understand. And really, what we have to do is go back to Aristotle's concept of humor. Yeah. It's that's the thing, is most of the like jokes that I know are those kinds of jokes. Thank God, like, dry humor is starting to make a comeback, because there was a while where people would just look at me sideways, and I was like, I don't really have time to explain to you how, like, Stephen Wright goes in and out of fashion, and it's not all Dane Cook shouting and George Carlin talking about how politics is broken. Like, sometimes people just make one line funny observations, and the fact that you're struggling so hard with that is like really telling me we're not going to be able to be friends. Like, it's just this exhausting.
I agree with you. Like, for me personally, I love observational humor, especially like reframing things in like a new light, you know, because like everything seems normal until you say like, okay, but remove your frame of reference and look at it from like this other frame of reference. You know,
right now, if I have any religion, I think it's the short story that Kierkegaard made a video about, where like the whole universe is just.
I know exactly the egg. And the weird thing was that, like, and this is not like the, like, I was doing it first, like that so closely mirrored my religious and philosophical beliefs. When it came out, it was like surreal to me, because I was like, yeah, did I tell someone about this? Like, I mean, yeah. I have, but like, no, I mean, that's pretty spot on. Yeah.
And I like, because I don't know how old that short story is that they adapted, mm-hmm. but I like that whoever wrote it, or in their adaptation, they take the time to explicitly say, because the narrator essentially is like, you know, oh, so all religions were wrong, or this religion was right, or whatever. And the, you know, galactic being is like, no, they're all kind of right. Like, that's the point, is like, they're all circling around the same good ideas. It's just the more dogmatic they are about the specifics, then they drift further and further from the truth. And I mean, this is a very, you know, 1960s and 1970s in America, drop acid and, you know, like, oh man, what if we're just all like one big family? And it's like, well, in a sense, yeah, we are. It's like, oh man, the world is just like one big living organism. Like, yes, literally. Yes. You can die and the earth doesn't die, but just like, you know, you can lose one of your cells. Oh man, what if the universe was like this whole thing and it was all connected? I mean, it is kind of like, literally, yes, it's sort of it. And I just love that all of art and science and philosophy and language, and like, we're all just poorly circling the same thing and doing a really shit job communicating that. And some things like science generally and philosophy generally, I think, are more self-aware than your average religion. Your average religion is a lot more, no, my way is the right way. You all are close to my truth, but I'm the truth. Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas like philosophy and science tend to be a little bit more, we're all wrong. We just have tools that are hopefully like moving our trajectory toward rightness.
Allow us to iterate on our wrongness faster.
Yeah, pretty much. But I love that version of that philosophy in that video. It's just, I was like, oh, I like this, because the one and only actionable takeaway from this is try to be a good person, because they're all you, right?
Yeah, like, try to be groovy.
Every kindness you do is a kindness to yourself, and every harm you do is a harm to yourself, which again is not a new idea by any stretch. Like, it's a super old idea, but it's just conveyed in this way that's like really consumable. And I was like, ah, this is good. This is probably the feeling like a lot of people get when they're like, oh, this is, my religion fulfills me. And I'm like, but why? It's dumb. And then I hear something like this, I'm like, ah, this is a philosophy I can get on board with.
There it is. It reminds me of, remember when we were in Publix after Kung Fu in our Kung Fu uniforms, and that like stoner walked up to us, and and like, I've forgotten like how we like broke into the conversation, but he said something to the effect of like, he said something and you or I retorted, and he said like, oh, well, I didn't know you could create a philosophy around, you know, thing A, whatever it was. And I remember saying something to the effect of like, you know, philosophy, religion, science, these are all different lenses through which we view the same world. So anything can be a philosophy, anything can be a religion, anything can be a science if looked upon in the correct point of view. And just watching this stoner's mind like freaking melt, you know, as it was like, oh my God. And it's like, this isn't, I mean, I appreciate that you're high enough to where this is like, like I have like become five of me with like seven arms, and I'm speaking, like conveying the one truth to you. But this isn't like that mind blowing, you know?
Sorry, I don't have any citations handy right now, but I can't really take credit for this.
I feel like if you were to make that into a comedy sketch, right? It's like he's sitting like, oh my God. And like, you know, I look at each other and like, just like take his wallet and like as he's like tripping out and just like walk away. Like we were just trying to rob him. Like that was like,
didn't go down the way we expected, but the end result was the same.